association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 94. I'm Adam.
I'm Isabella.
And I'm Alicia.
And this week, as promised, we're going to be talking about Rose. Now, Isabella, you watched it this morning. Tell the listeners all about the Doctor Who episode, Rose.
The people are moving. The people are moving.
What are you on about?
What are you talking about, Isabella?
Oh, the monsters.
That's the story, is it? The monsters.
So the people are moving. You mean the plastic people?
Or can you remember what happened in the story?
They were all trying to get to everyone so they can get them. So they can shoot them.
Are you slow today, Isabella?
Well, don't you remember the beginning of the story? What happened at the beginning of the story?
Where does Rose work, Isabella?
What?
Where does Rose work?
Nowhere.
What? Well, she didn't now, that's right, because it got a bit exploded, didn't it? Well, she went to work, she went downstairs, she was going to meet a friend to give them the lottery tickets, and then something was happening downstairs.
What was his name?
I can't remember.
Well, I didn't set it on that.
Sorry, listeners, Deb is talking about setting a timer. No relevance whatsoever to what we're talking about. So, yes, what happened then? Downstairs. She's downstairs in the shop. What happens?
All the plastics, man, the girl, man's, were all moving and Nigel trying to get Rose and the doctor rescued her.
Okay. And then what happened? What happened to the shop after the doctor rescued her?
They all went. They were all running so they can just do not get them, so they cannot get
Rose. The thing I was thinking about was the shop exploding. Yes?
No.
Oh, fair enough. What else happened then in the story?
There was fire in someone's house.
Well, no, it was in the building, someone's house.
That was a shop, we just talked about that. What about Mickey? Do you remember Mickey? Rose's boyfriend?
Yeah, Mickey.
What happened to him?
His head got off and his hands went like the square.
But that wasn't real Mickey. That was a plastic Mickey. That wasn't a real one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what happened at the end?
They found Mickey.
The real one.
Oh, the real Mickey.
They found it.
They found it, yeah. And then what happened?
Rose was trying to rescue the doctor.
Did she?
Yeah.
By how did she rescue the doctor, Isabella?
I can't really remember.
Didn't she take a chain thing and swing?
Yep.
So what
how was how was that to do with gymnastics,
and it went
Dad?
Right in the monster's tummy and he ate them.
The monsters.
So the anti-plastic killed the monster. Right, so after that, the doctor's going to go home. So then what happens?
Rose was going to go back home too.
But then the doctor says to Rose, do you want to come with me? And she says...
Yes! Yes.
No, initially she says no. And then the doctor leaves, doesn't
what?
He? And then he comes back again. And then he says something to her that makes
did
her...
Did I mention it also travels in time?
No, that's how it finished, wasn't it? So what did you think of Rose? That's the first episode of the new Doctor Who series. You've never seen it before, have you?
Good!
You enjoyed it?
Yes!
Okay, that's good then, isn't it? Alicia, what did you think of Rose? We haven't seen it many times, have we?
I've seen loads of times.
No, you haven't? That's the first time you've ever seen it.
Funny. I've seen it loads of times.
So what did you think?
Every time I enjoy it.
Do you like it every time you see it?
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I think I understood it better.
Better than what?
Better. Like, if I saw it the first time, I wouldn't get it that much.
Well, bear in mind, how old are
you? I think that I would be more, like, excited when the first time came out. Now it's just like, it's Rose. But I think I understand it better. Like, some of the things they say and stuff like that.
Well, bear in mind, when it first went out, how old were you?
10?
No.
12?
No.
13?
It's 2005 this story was aired.
So how old were
you in 2005?
Eight.
The year before Isabella was born.
Eight.
888. That's 888.
Well, no.
I think you'll find you were seven, Alicia. When this episode went out.
I don't know what my age was.
2005, Deb, she had her eighth birthday. So when this episode went out, you were how old? She's gotten all quiet because she knows I'm right. So, obviously, we're going to be talking in greater detail about Rose later on. So, No,
let's talk about detail now.
You can talk about detail now if you like. What sort of detail would you like to talk about?
The whole story is a detail.
Go on then.
It started off with an alarm going off and Rose going out of bed and going to work, working all day, and she's just about to walk out the door. And when someone gave her a lottery ticket to give to this man who lives downstairs, the engineer.
You can chip in, Alicia, if you so... Isabella, isn't it? Sorry, that little one. If you so wish to. Carry on, Alicia.
Which is the engineer, and then...
Got 2 million to remember.
Oh, I've got about...
Sorry, don't interrupt, sir. Go on, Alicia.
Thank you. And then... What else happened? I'm trying to think now. Oh, no.
That is typical for you, isn't it? That is a tricky part of it when you have to think, Alicia, isn't it?
Yeah. And she goes down, takes the lottery ticket, and she hears a bag, and one goes into the room where the bag is, which is full of all these plastic people, and then the door slams behind her.
Yes.
And she thinks it's someone having a joke, because she keeps saying, "There's someone mucking about!" And then... this all-torn person comes alive, and those other people come alive, and then she's just about to get hit by one of these all-torns when the doctor comes and goes, "Run!" And then they run away from them into a... And then ask the doctor if it's students that's doing it. Don't she?
Yes, I believe that is the case.
Yeah, if it's students, because she said it's most likely to be students. And then they go into the lift, and then the doctor is trying to go into the lift, but the doctor pulls off his arm.
The doctor pulls off his arm? That must have been a bit painful for him.
How did
he
manage?
Is that because he just regenerated and he grew back a new one?
I said the Auton's arm.
No, you didn't. I did.
The doctor pulled off his arm.
I just said that. Yeah, you said the doctor...
It's not his.
Okay, sorry.
Trying to do two things at once.
Well, don't do the other thing while you're trying to do this thing.
No, this is GCSE, so... Yeah.
Waiting.
Yeah, I know what happened after that.
You don't know what happened after that? Well, there we go.
So. No, yeah, and then he tells Rose to run for her life. After the famous line of, "I'm the doctor, by the way. What's your name?" "Rose. Nice to meet you, Rose. Run for your life." And then she runs, and then behind her, the building explodes. And as she's walking, running away, you see a glimpse of the TARDIS go past. And then she goes home, and her mum's on the phone to Bev.
Bev? Oh, okay.
And then starts talking a load of rubbish to him, and then... Yeah.
Have we got to the bit where the doctor comes back and she starts flirting with him? "I'm a woman."
I know that line. I know most of the script of those.
Go on then.
And then Mickey turns up and takes the arm to the bin, and then he chucks it in the bin and starts rattling about. And then it goes to the next day, and then... There's something at the cat flap.
Yeah, and the Rose has a look, and whose head's there?
And there's a doctor, and he was like, "What are you doing here?" And she was like, "I live here." And he was like, "Why do you do that for?" And then she lets him in, and then Rose's mum was like, "I'm all alone. I'm in my dressing gown, and there's a strange man in my bedroom. Anything can happen." And he's like, "No," and walks off.
And then
Rose starts making him a cup of tea, And when he's like, he looks in the mirror and he sees what he looks like, he's like, oh, not too bad. Something about the ears. So that gives the impression that he's just regenerated and hasn't looked in the mirror yet.
That implies he's only just regenerated, doesn't it, Alyssa, and her ears?
Yeah, but he would have looked in the mirror when he picked out a new outfit. That's why I don't understand.
Well, what if he was already wearing that outfit when he regenerated?
Maybe, but yeah.
He would have, but if you look at the bit, you know, when Mickey, well, who is it, does a search on the internet for Doctor and TARDIS? Rose, wasn't it, I think? Shouldn't she do it on Mickey's computer?
Yeah.
And that's where she finds this bloke who seems to be a bit of an expert on the Doctor. She goes round to his house and he does seem to know quite a lot. And he shows old pictures of the Doctor, you know, in various situations, like on the Titanic, well, with the family that was supposed to go on the Titanic, with the assassination of President Kennedy, etc. And that implies he's been that incarnation of the Doctor for a while, so he would have seen a reflection of himself. So that was a bit of a silly scene to me, personally. What do you think, Mummy?
I don't know.
She doesn't know. Yeah, carry on.
So, that was a bit silly.
Mm. But in the meantime, Mickey's waiting outside in that superb yellow Beetle.
Yeah.
And then he investigates a rather mysterious looking bin.
A bin, and then the bin comes alive.
Well, what happens with the bin, Isabella? The bin on Doctor Who?
He comes close to it.
Pardon?
He comes close to it and then it eats him.
Right. So basically that's what happens. And then he's replaced by a mysterious plastic Mickey as Rose comes out of the house and drives into a restaurant.
Pizza restaurant.
Yep, and
pizza.
He starts grilling Rose, doesn't he? And, well, not as in cooking, but asking lots and lots of questions about the Doctor. And then he starts sort of asking his questions in a strange sort of way, doesn't he?
He's like, babe.
Like a remix. Remix sort of questions. And then somebody offers them some champagne a couple of times, rather insistently. And it turns out it's the Doctor who then shoots the champagne cork. What happens with the Doctor when he shoots the champagne cork, Isabella?
I like champagne.
It made.
The Doctor shot the champagne cork at Mickey.
Head.
Plastic Mickey. What happened?
He just takes his head off.
Whatever. Yeah, basically, what did he take his head off? I can't remember. Didn't he clobber him something? His head went flying across the room and then he started...
He
pulled it off, but his hands turned into little hammers, so he was smashing through tables and stuff and chasing after Rose and the Doctor. And then they get chased by this thing, don't they? And the TARDIS happens to be parked in the back of the restaurant, wasn't it? Was that right? And the Doctor says, sorry, don't worry, Rose, I'll go in here, we can go in. The Rose sort of doesn't initially go into the TARDIS. She tries to get out through another door. But eventually does go into the TARDIS. Then we have the old bigger on the inside routine that we always get with new companions. And they move to the embankment. And I've taken over your role somewhere along the line.
Oh, yeah. Well, she goes to the embankment. Beaming out, mate. And then he's, like, angry because
something's happening with the picture with football.
Deb's getting distracted by the football. Peterborough United versus Sunderland. Carry on, Alicia.
Oh, and what happens? I know. Can you tell me up to the bit?
Well, basically, what happens is there.
He's trying to find out where.
There must be something. Giving out a signal.
And then they're standing right behind the London Eye, and the Rose keeps pointing it out to him, and he's like, "What? No, seriously, what?" When he realises it, and he's like, "Fantastic."
That was quite a clever idea, wasn't it?
You know that fantastic?
Yes.
Reminds of Guy Barlow.
Great. But the idea...
Absolutely fantastic.
The idea that the London Eye could be a massive satellite dish type thing was very, very clever.
Nothing like Barlow.
You go, then.
I can't do it.
Absolutely fantastic.
So anyway, they go to the London Eye, find this little entrance and get underground where they find Mickey. And then the Doctor, or the Rose says, well, that's it, tip the anti-plastic into the nesting, let's get out of here. And she says, no, I must give him a chance, says the Doctor. So he goes and pleads with the nesting intelligence and mentions for the first time the Shadow Proclamation.
The number 15 of the Shadow Proclamation.
But obviously he doesn't want to know, so then they they seize him, don't they? So kind of autumns. So Rose then finds Mickey, who's a bit pathetic in this particular scene, considering what he turns out to be at the end of his time in Doctor Who. He's like a mercenary, doesn't he? At the end of it, he's like a pathetic little
girl.
Yeah, in there. So anyway, so and she decides to use her gymnastic skills to swing on some chains.
Yeah, but I don't know how that involves gymnastic skills. To be honest, I would, if I was a boy, I would say military.
Military.
Yeah. Because you do that in military.
Military gymnastics.
No, they do that in military. Because I was watching this film, right, I know this sounds really weird, but I was watching this film, and they did that in military, because this girl went to a military school, and they did that in military. So I would say under 7 military training.
That's fair enough, but when I was at school, in the gym, we'd have ropes that you hung down from the ceiling, and we used to have to swing on them and climb up them. And
they're done, but silent, because they still got the thing.
And we used to do courses where you'd have horses. No, what they call those horses you do the vaults over?
You'd
have to climb over there. You get a teacher hand you a rope, and you'd have to swing from one rope to the next one. That's probably what she's done. That's still gymnastics. It's just not competitive gymnastics.
Is that health and safety now?
I don't know. I haven't been to school since 1982, so I couldn't tell you. So yeah, basically, the Rose then kicks the two Autons that are behind the Doctor. Amazingly, only they fall into the Auton.
No, because the Doctor sees she's coming and bends over, and they kick the Auton.
But the antiplastic goes in and kills the Nursing Intelligence. Mm-hmm. And then we come to a bit Isabella talked about earlier, where she sort of feels Rose had this sort of loyalty to Mickey and doesn't initially want to go to the Doctor, but he
and she's like, thanks, and he's like, for what exactly?
Yeah, that was a bit harsh, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think Mickey had been quite loyal to Rose, really, to be honest with you. But there you go. So that's basically Rose. Yes, probably one of the most watched episodes of New Doctor Who, and the one that probably initiated its new surge in popularity. I know a lot of people hate Russell T. Davis.
Really?
But looking at this, it made me feel rather nostalgic for his time as the showrunner, and I'd like to see him back.
Same.
Mm. So yeah, that was our little look on Rose. As I say, that me and the lads will be discussing Rose further detail.
Love the way you call them lads.
Later on in the show. And hopefully, Ben will probably be quite happy because he loves Russell T. Davis, so he'll probably... Ben Shovelow, remember him?
I don't remember you getting that excited because Doctor Who was returning. Maybe because I was so young.
Baby because you were so young.
I said maybe.
She said baby, didn't she?
We didn't hear her. I never do.
Okay, well, you may be right. You were young, but you did watch it. You did enjoy it. Cause,
no, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I didn't watch it first time. I was scared.
You weren't? Was she scared?
I never watched it first time.
You were all right up to Empty Child and Doctor Dancers, and you watched those two episodes.
I had nightmares.
Yeah, anyway. Mm. So, there we go. That's Sir Rose for the time being. In eBay this week, Alicia, the number one item, right, that means the most expensive item listed on eBay in relation to Doctor Who is Doctor Who, rare collection of unique books, and DVDs and autographs. Listed with no bids, Deborah Pearson, at £3,500. Now, I should really have done this last week, because obviously a lot of people will have had the items for Christmas. They don't particularly want them. They're probably going to be flogging on eBay. But I didn't. But I think the trouble with this current financial climate, people don't want to buy stuff anymore, and stuff on eBay is just not selling. Isn't that right, Mummy?
Dunno.
Right, so let's scroll down this. Right, there's been some news. Do you want to look up the news? Do you have a computer on you, Alicia?
News? Well, no, I'm doing stuff.
Well, Karen Gillan is and Arthur Darvill have been announced as leaving Doctor Who in series 7.
Yeah, she said it on Graham Norton.
She did, but she doesn't know when, and apparently she's going to be in quite a lot of the series anyway, so it's going to be a long time before we see her leave. Right, so, the number one item with bids against it is the vintage Doctor Who Ice Warrior head, and that's currently with bids, 17 bids to be precise, at £147. Yeah, I can see you're fascinated by that one.
Yeah. So fascinated I am.
What's the last Doctor Who item you bought or got bought for you, Alicia? Apart from a trip to the Doctor Experience.
I wish I could have a trip.
That was it. Do you want to go to Doctor Experience, Mummy?
No, I'd just like to have a trip.
Would you? How about the Doctor Experience?
I'll have a trip. I'll have a trip.
Not too much on you.
Send me a postcard, I'll have a
trip. Second item, vintage Dalek vintage 1960. How can it be 1960? The Daleks didn't come out till 1963. £102 for a rather old looking blue Dalek thing. And the third item, and this is something that would have cost them £1.99 to buy, is Doctor Who character build. Would you be quiet? Doctor Who character building micro figure. Will you be quiet? Could you be quiet, please? Well, just wait and be quiet. Let me finish what I'm saying. Microfigures, super rare, Doctor in straight jacket. Now, currently listed, I'll tell you in a moment. There it is, Isabella. There it is, see? Doctor in straight jacket, character options figure.
Can't see.
You probably bite its hair off, because that's what Isabella does, listeners. Isabella bites the hair off character building figures. £102 for that, Deb. You want to say it again, Elisabella? Very rare.
What about the other ones?
No other ones. That just shows you the picture of the other rare characters. Roman Rory, a silent, which I can't quite see what it looks like. Funny looking silent. Amy with a sword. A pirate Amy. Doctor in a straight jacket and River. A different River. Okay?
But
I'm not going.
Because I haven't seen a river.
The river's
Rory,
down there.
I mean.
Oh. No, it says Roman Rory. It's just a Roman soldier with Rory's head on it.
Let me
you can make your own
it.
One of them by let taking the Roman soldier and sticking Rory's head on it.
Let me see it.
Ooh.
But what is he doing?
Standing there.
No. I just looked through my old festival pictures.
Ow.
I just looked through my old festival pictures and now I'm getting excited for festival.
Thank you for that, Alicia.
Birthday. I'm going with Noel, Emily, Shannon, everybody. But... Yeah.
Anyway, I got a text. I got a text last night at Deborah P. This is from Ian, my long-time Welsh buddy. There's a sign he took in a picture of a sign he took in Cardiff. That's a picture picture of a sign that he saw in
Cardiff.
And it says Landing Cardiff, summer 2012. Un gleig in noch nicht dies.
What?
2012.
This is what I don't get. Why do they have their own
was there any particular reason to interrupt what I was saying?
Yeah, because your impression of it was...
Ungladio ag ngurdaith, half 2012, Doctor Experience. There you go. So it's coming to Cardiff. And basically, they've stuck a sign on a metal fence, which is where they seem to be building the Doctor Who Experience in Cardiff. I'm like, looking forward to seeing that. Shall we go to the Doctor Who Experience when it's in Cardiff?
Yes!
That's what I like to see.
No.
What do you mean, yes, no, no, no?
When is it coming to Cardiff?
What month?
Summer 2012. I'm pretty sure that's what you said.
June.
Oh, what's he done to you? Yeah, it says, his text said, it's all happening here. I said, you lucky people. He said, see you in the summer. I said, already seen it in London. He said, bugger, talk to you soon. I said, okay, fella. Help, happy New Year. I would love to see it in Cardiff, though. Utterly skint.
No,
that's me. I said that.
I'm going
to
say.
Yeah, summer 2012. Yeah. So there you go. That's that. Our next episode, obviously, girls, will be the one we saw a preview of. I can't remember what it's called. Do you remember?
Something.
Okay, thank you for that.
It's the skin of that woman, isn't it?
Cassandra.
Cassandra. So that's the next one we'll be watching very, very soon in time for next week's show. So
what about this?
Are you quite enjoying the new series of Doctor Who, like the one we watched? Do you want to carry on watching it, or do you want to give up?
Give up.
Right, okay. Thank you for that as well. So, does that mean that you're now going to be exempt from doing any songs on the show from now on?
Go on, tell the listeners what you did this week, Isabella.
Well, I just wanted to say that we had some feedback in regards to her singing. Dan Van Kylenberg last week said that his son, 7-year-old son, has to go out of the room whenever he hears Isabella sing on the show. So, would you like to... Would you like to send Dan Van Kylenberg's son out of the room by singing a song?
No.
Okay, well, there we go then. You had your chance. So, yes, let's move on. Thank you, Alicia. Thank
Mummy's,
you.
Mummy's telling you to sing a song.
No.
What did you do this week, Isabella? What did you start this week?
What's that got to do with Doctor
No,
Who?
It does. What did you start this week, Isabella?
Duh. Yeah, she started Doctor Who this week. Yeah. Right, so...
Dancing.
I think it's time we moved on to some people who actually want to talk about Doctor Who. That's hopefully Ben, Kirby...
Alicia.
And...
Alicia.
Rich. Well, you're not going to be here, are you?
No, well, I'll be here telepathically.
Well, I'll see you next week then, Alicia, shall we?
Yes.
Good. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
And chaos may reign now as we have the return of Ben.
Yay! The return of the Mac. No, it's not.
It's with the Reese and Kirby. And Robert is conspicuous by his absence at the moment, but I'm sure we'll find out why later on. And my father-in-law is currently in the garden fixing my fence. My mother-in-law is currently in the room looking rather confused as to what I'm doing. And...
I don't understand all this technology.
I'm going to let you get on with
the computer.
With the feedback and charts and stuff, while I go and see how my father-in-law's getting on with the fence. So, Ben, I did send you an email with the charts.
Yes, and I put it in my new podcast folder in my email system.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Which is now opening up, so it should be done by Thursday.
It's only 20 because there was only 23. Podcast released this week in the DWPA. And then after that, if you could do Richard Culp's feedback, because that's quite a long one, and I think by the time I get back, it will be time for Ian Kirk's feedback, which I have on my iPhone. So
okay,
crack on. I'm going to see how my dad's getting on. Bye.
Hi. But firstly, hello, Australian friend.
Hello.
That was a nice thing. And hello, American friend.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello, English friend.
How are your Christmases and New Year's?
Oh, just great.
Fantastic.
So obviously,
fantastic.
Reece, so Reece, I don't know about you, but now in England, we're in the year 2012. So you're in the future, so you must be in 2014. So, two things. Firstly, how are the Olympics? Magic. Did Britain win any medals? Secondly, have I got a job yet?
I can't answer the first one, and the second one would just be spoilers.
Second one would be no. I think it would be in 2014. Right then, so we have a look at the top 20 podcasts. As I said, only 23 released this week, but we'll start at number 20 with Tim's Take On. We've obviously got no uppy or downiness because obviously we've had a couple of light weeks. At 19, it's The Whostorian, and at 18, The Sonic Toolbox. 17 is Drunken Time Travel, and 16 it's the Cultdom Collective. You've got to be careful how you say that one after a couple of bits.
Why are we going so fast?
Because we've got another 15 to get through. 15. Okay, if you want to comment on them, fine. 15 is Edition 1. Nothing. And at 14, Travelling the Vortex. Okay, 13 is Articles of the Shadow Proclamation, and at 12, The 2-Minute Time Lord. Okay, number 11 is Ian Todd World, and at number 10 is Bad Will. Retitled Bad Will on cue. Maybe he thought I said Bad Wolf, and therefore getting a little bit...
They're going to have to rename it Bad Wolf. Fuck, 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 fuck.
Now that side.
Yeah,
I see.
And you ended up in Louise's garden.
Considering it's been 20, this has taken a hell of a long time. Number 9, it's Staggering Story. Number 8, the New Who podcast. I was trying to work out which word I'd said out of the three, then I realised it was the first one. Number 7, it's the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hey. Hooray.
A bit low number 7, I think, but that's probably because I haven't been on it for a couple of weeks.
Magic!
Yes, magic. That's what some people said, but I said it was probably bad.
No, it's because of the Impossible podcast. That's why we're number 7. If they hadn't released a show, we would have been number 6.
By the way, whoever that was in the background.
Hang on,
magic,
the dog has just escaped. I'll have to go and get him.
Number 6. This is like doing it with an older version of the podcast. Number 5. Number four is Rick.
What was number five?
It was Impossible Podcast.
What was number six then?
Mostly Harmless Cutaways.
Oh, it's them as well. It's their fault. Them and Impossible Podcasts. Yes.
Yeah, we're doing the chart backwards. This doesn't make any sense. Like, maybe we should do it next week. Do the chart backwards. Start at number one and count.
You lose the suspense if you do it backwards.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Anyway, we got to number five, didn't we? Which is a cool podcast. And number four is Radio Free Scaro. Number three is The Tin Dog. Number two is the Doctor Who podcast. And at number one, it's Doctor Who Pod Shock.
Hey. Dun, dun. So there you go. Thank you, Ben. Wasn't it nice to have the charts back?
Well, it's made my day.
And isn't it nice to have Ben back?
Yeah, I'd say
definitely.
So.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
As someone shouted a minute ago, magic. do you want to know something very interesting?
Yes, I do.
Today something is magic. Only, apart from me being magic, obviously, and my laptop being rubbish. I was rubbish before, but I restored it, and now it's even worse. I don't understand that. But anyway, you know, my poorly toe was poorly, but now it's not so poorly. Today...
It's poorly again.
Today is day three of not wearing any sort of plaster or bandage on it, and it's looking okay.
Excellent.
And if I could be bothered to go on Facebook, which I can't anymore... Have you noticed that? Anyone miss me on Facebook?
Was that since Man United got stuffed by Man City and then made up for it just about yesterday?
No, I've been on Facebook just before Christmas, and I just can't be bothered with it anymore. So if you want to get hold of me, you'll have to get hold of me by my proper email address, which only Adam knows.
Not getting a lot of responses then?
No, and I don't want a lot. I just want to keep myself to myself and see out this troubled, tricky time.
You've still got your underwater tank in with your little studio as well, then.
That's because my laptop and my internet connection are both a bit bobbins. Something which I'll try and do at some point.
Yeah, before you crack on with Richard Culp's long-awaited return to the feedback section of the show, I tweeted this morning, Stephen Moffat sometimes seems quite hostile towards fans. Does he not realise that some of us actually quite like his era of Doctor Who? No, I did say some of us. Stop snorting.
Who would that be then?
No. He then tweeted back... I am not remotely hostile. I block people for being rude or threatening and think I'm entitled to. I'm nice to the nice. There we go.
Get your bleep machine ready, because I'll tell him to f*** right off.
Well, I wouldn't say that, because my furthermore to that tweet was Stephen Moffat, and thank you for responding and giving me something extra to discuss on this week's 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Roll on the autumn, so if he's listening to the show... Oh dear.
Have you not asked him to come on so we can slag him off?
No, he'll be coming on so you can slag him off.
I'd ask him some very serious questions, like, why haven't you resigned yet? Have you not got better things to do than ruin a good TV programme? Why not go and concentrate on Sherlock?
So we haven't really... You had a very brief discussion, well, not discussion, a comment on the Christmas special last week. So what were your more elaborate comments about
it? I sent you my entire views on that Christmas special. I sent them to you.
I know, and I've got them here.
Did you not read it out?
I did read it out, yes. Did you not listen to the show last week?
Of course I did.
I've got them here somewhere.
I was looking for... aliens.
My review of Christmas special, though, all right in parts, but nothing special. That was your...
There you go, then.
And I quote.
That sums it up, then, doesn't it? I don't think I could possibly add any more to that.
So if you're wondering, listeners, what the bang, 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 bang in the background is, as I've referred to earlier on, it's not... It's my father-in-law fixing the fence, which two panels blew out when we had the storm last week. It basically completely wrecked
your mother-in-law's there, your father-in-law's there, there's bang, bang, banging and blowing out going on.
Typically you.
Am I being smutty?
Yes. Anyhow. Right, so Richard Culp's email.
My own thoughts on the last Christmas special can be summed up as it was enjoyable as an enjoyable romp. So it's not just me being smutty, Richard Culp. as long as you don't try to analyse it. Watching it purely for the enjoyment of another Doctor Who story, and it was one that you could get lost
underwater
in.
Underwater again.
That's all right, we'll get used to it now. You've got a snorkel, I hope.
He's the underwater menace.
Nothing in the world could stop him now.
Watching it purely for the enjoyment of another Doctor Who story, and it was one that you could get lost in, but the moment you start to pick it apart and try to think it through, well, let's just say it does start to unravel. With only one viewing under my belt, I will only say right now, I had issues with the following. The spacesuit and his landing, the ship, the tree folk that created that could travel in the time vortex, and an English woman being able to pilot an alien craft. Well, of course, if she was French, it would have been a completely different story. When I am able to look at this story again, I'll be able to put together some proper thoughts on the story as a whole, and perhaps be able to offer some possible explanations for certain aspects of the story. You know, the part where we fans retcon it to help explain these problems away, or at least to start debates with other fans to pass the time. We don't do that, but it's definitely, definitely a sin. I look forward to... I just have to get that in early in this one.
Beg your pardon?
Pardon me? Oh, I've got me flat. My spatula stuck under me flapjack. You all look back at the 2005 remake. We all love, and if you wouldn't mind, could you perhaps point out some nods to the writers put into the shows and its past, such as the Doctor saying, if they ask if I was here, say no in the Fires of Pompeii. I know I have missed some of these, and it would be fun to have the ones I missed pointed out. On a side note, I have just watched Spearhead from Space and would like to tell those fans who had an issue with Rory coming
off.
No need for nipple tweaking, darling.
What?
Or maybe there. On a side note, I've just watched Spearhead from Space and would like to tell those fans who had an issue with Rory coming off so human as an Orson, well, just watch the classic story and you can see how good they were at imitating us. We all recall the window shop dummies walking the streets, but I think we have forgotten how good they could be at looking human when it was necessary. Until next time, keep up the great work. P.S. Welcome back, Ben. How did he know?
Ooh. Well, you could have deleted that one out if it was appropriate to do other, no, you know. Carry on, sorry, I'm rambling.
Yes, thank you, Richard Colt, for your feedback, and there you go.
Yeah, thank you, Richard, it's nice to have you back, isn't it, Reese?
Yes, it is.
Isn't it, ooh. Kirby?
Me.
Yeah.
Yes. I've got some audio feedback from Ian, that's unusual, isn't it?
Ooh.
Well, only who doesn't normally send it.
Yes, at least somebody bothers. Here you are, Ian.
Hello, Adam, Alicia, Ben, Reese, and Robert.
Hello.
This is the ninth day of the first month, and we are reviewing the first episode of the Ninth Doctor. If you believe in numerology, this is the kind of thing you believe in.
The episode
is called Rose and shows events from her point of view. Eccleston does a great job as the Doctor. The writer, Davies, seems to be adding soap opera elements to Doctor Who, with a companion continuing to interact with her mother and boyfriend. Rose Tyler is played by Billy Piper. That was a bad wolf whistle. Her mother, Jackie Tyler, is played by the wonderful Camille Cajuri. If you want to see more of Camille, you should acquire the film King Ralph, made in 1991. The pictures with Eccleston's head stuck on other people's bodies were dreadful, but it's not the end of the world. We are reviewing that next week. If you ask the Who cast from Germany if they have a favourite Doctor, they might say, Nine! About the space scene... Perhaps the spaceship was not in orbit, it was hovering, like the ships in Independence Day, but much higher up. You can make a fan's head explode by suggesting that the Doctor created an air bubble with his sonic screwdriver. Ming Mong. The BBC competes with commercial stations which would like to know when a popular programme like Doctor Who is returning, so they can plan their schedules. The BBC will try to keep it a secret for as long as possible. BBC America usually announce episodes first, possibly something to do with the Pursuit of Happiness bit in the US Constitution. Oh, hello Kirby! Are you wearing wool? My sensors do not work properly on wool. Bye for now.
Oh. Okay, there we go.
That's why he forgot you.
It's amazing the work it goes into compiling these bits of audio. Very clever. It's getting cleverer and cleverer. Yes. I wonder if he's ever thought of doing writing. He might actually be able to challenge Stephen Moffat.
My
5-year-old daughter could challenge Stephen Moffat.
Deary me. Ooh.
That's not fair. That's not fair. She's 5 and a half.
Right. So that rather covers feedback and the like this week. So we might as well move on to Rose. Now, I didn't write anything down for this particular episode because it's probably the one I've watched the most out of every new episode of Doctor Who. So it's a sort of off-by-heart thing. But I remember Richard did say we were to point out certain sort of nods to the classic series. So
did you rewatch it last night like you said you would?
I watched it yesterday.
I watched it last night.
Didn't watch it last night, but I definitely watched it yesterday with Alicia and Isabella.
I watched it last night. Yeah. I watched it early this morning.
A couple of hours ago.
So,
a couple hours ago, like around the time that you were responding to me when I was watching it last night? I've actually slept, but you haven't.
Sorry, I'm confused.
Adam, you've got to remember.
#confused.
Reese is in 2015.
Oh, God.
Kirby being behind us is still in 2010. And so still waiting for finding out what's going to happen in Matt Smith's first series.
That's right.
And we, of course, are in proper time, so we know what's going on in both time zones.
Uh-huh. Well, I know what's going on in both time zones, too.
Splendid. You can't do. You're not a time traveller. You're in front of us.
Anyway.
Yes, but I'm talking to Kirby, who's in the past, and you, who's in present day for you.
He's been traveling through time, and he probably knows whether or not David Tennant carried that torch at the Olympics.
He did. I know he did.
No comment.
Right, so it begins with, now this is all off the top of my head, no notes. It begins with the shot of the Earth and the Moon, and then we have Rose just about to finish work. She's got some lottery tickets. She's got to take downstairs to some... what was his Wilson, wasn't it? Because I remember it was Wilson because of the character of Wilson from that film with Tom Hanks where he gets stranded on a beach.
I think Rose Tyler had the day at work that everyone would love to have in
what,
a job like
you
that.
You just go in and finish and go home? Or...
Well, it lasted about 35 seconds, didn't it?
Yes. Anyway, so she goes on and she stopped mucking around to all these
one thing I was
dummies.
Noticing when I was watching it last night,
yes.
Do people in shops... in Britain, not identify themselves, no uniforms, no name tags.
Depends on the shops.
I mean, there was no way of really telling that she worked there, except for the fact that she's carting stuff around.
Yeah, it was the end of the day. And if it was the end of the day, she was on her way out, then she may have well have taken her uniform off.
No,
she never had a uniform on, I agree with you.
All right. Doesn't matter, though, does it? Some shops, they have uniforms, some shops, I don't know. But most shops, they do have a name tag on them.
It's my job to be pedantic.
Yes, I know.
It is. But did you notice the way that they actually played some of the music through the radio in the shop?
Yes, yes.
I like that touch.
Timbre.
Well, did you notice also, when I watched it, when it originally aired live, that Graham Norton appeared in the first section
of
the
program? Yes. I've got a copy of that.
Yes.
Yeah, for some reason, I had a copy like that, too.
I
don't know how I
somewhere.
Got that.
If Alicia hasn't ruined it, which she has done with a lot of my DVDs that were recorded off the telly. But anyway, yeah, so she goes downstairs, and there's these dummies walking around, and she says, stop messing around, and it's a bit cheesy, that bit, actually.
Stop messing about!
That's
now,
it.
How many of us saw that and went, great Auton?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great Auton, I agree.
No, but, I mean, that we just love the fact that our first...
Yeah, so that's the first nod to the classic series.
Was Auton.
Yeah.
So, and actually, this was the first time I had ever seen Auton.
Really?
I was aware of them, but I didn't see any Third Doctor stories until well after New Who.
So
started.
Did you watch this particular episode of Doctor Who after you'd seen some other ones? Or were you there as soon as this one became available to watch, or?
As soon as I could somehow acquire this one.
Yeah, so you were already a Doctor Who fan before this came on, so you were trying to...
Who is my doctor? The fourth doctor?
Yes. Oh, yeah, that answers the that doctor. Question. Because obviously I was relaying earlier on in this show with Alicia, Ben, when you were on the radio and you were sort of... Well, you mentioned on the radio about the return of Doctor Who and how excited you were, and then I think we had a discussion off air. I think I might have phoned in to some competition you were going, and we had a discussion off air about it, and you said that you managed to get it in advance of its broadcast.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Hmm.
Found it on the internet, so just found it lying there on the internet. So but I better try and.
I think we got to the stage where you said, "Oh yeah, you were just about to tell me what how good it was or what happened." I said, "Don't tell me, I want to watch it." But but it was so such a big thing that people were so desperate to see it even before it actually went on air, you know, onto the television. So, but anyway, back to the story.
I didn't remember that conversation we had, but after you reminded me of it, I now do.
Good, that's all right. So. Yeah, so she's being threatened by these lumbering, rather slow-moving Autons, and then suddenly this figure appears through a doorway and sort of grabs her, removes her from the danger, and...
And says,
"Run!"
No, not initially.
She's Doctor Who we're talking about, not Harry Potter.
Yeah, no, they've had some strange conversations, and she talks about Wilson, and he says Wilson's dead, and rather flippantly, and... eventually, when they're just about to escape the building, he shows her that he's got to blow up the transmitter that's in the roof, isn't it? That's basically what he's saying. So he said she's got to get out of there, or they've both got to get out of there. And he said, what's your name, by the way? And she says, Rose. And he says, I'm the doctor, by the way. Run for your life.
The first thing he says is run. He grabs her hand as the Autons are about to smash her in the face.
Yes.
And grabs her hand and says, run. And
just making sure you're paying attention. That's good. Right, so.
You clearly blooming were. three of us were.
Well, you tune out when you've watched it hundreds of times. But anyway, yeah, so they run and the building explodes and you just see a little glimpse of the TARDIS parked around the corner. Which rather excited Isabella when she saw it.
I love seeing that.
But what you didn't notice is because of the time of day and the hotel was parked... It actually been clamped. the doctor then had to pay a £1,700 release fee.
It's probably.
And by the way, people not in England, pounds are the currency that we use in this country.
Not euros. So and I think that it cuts then to a sort of black screen, the zooming into the time on the clock, which was quite clever, which they'd already used earlier on in the episode, if I remember rightly.
I really like the use of music in this episode.
Oh, it's good. Yeah, it's good. It's got a good score. This one. And then Rose is in bed. I think she's in bed, isn't it? Because is that after
the next day where she's waking up and her mum shouts up, "There's no point in getting up. Have you got no job?"
Because as they already refer to the fact that Mickey comes in, he's so relieved that she's not dead, and they're all making a big fuss that she avoided the explosion and stuff. And then I think
Bill's running around the house trying to get compensation off everything. Oh, she's alive!
And then there's the scene with it where she looks through the cat flap and the doctor's face is there, and she sort of invites him in. And
love the way he says, "What are you doing here? I live here. Why do you do that?
Why do you do that?"
Yeah.
And there's that funny scene with her mum when she says, "I'm a woman alone in my dressing gown."
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Anything could
it's
happen.
It's a man setting us up in the bedroom.
But if it were me, would it be, yeah. But there you go.
What?
She's nice.
Hey?
What's wrong with Camille Dury? What's her name again? Camilla
Dury.
Pardon? Oh, Kaduri, yeah. She's nice. Anyway.
Really?
So, yeah, she is.
Really?
What's wrong with her?
Really?
Oh, back when the doctor... right after the cat flap thing...
Yeah.
The doctor.
I'm not talking about Camille again.
No. The doctor says, "I must have the wrong signal. You're not plastic, are you?" "No, bonehead. Bye, then." After he knocks her on the head.
Yeah, and then we have that comedy scene with the arm, don't we? Which he gave to Rose, didn't he, after he pulled it off in the shop because it got trapped in the lift door or something like that. And then it sort of tries throttling the doctor, and then it grabs hold of Rose's face.
But before that, whoa, some nod back.
Back up, Hoovy.
Sorry.
Oh.
The whole business where we get the impression that the Doctor has just regenerated.
Yes.
Yeah, now I've got issues with that bit.
So have I.
Because obviously, then later in the episode, we see him back in 1963 with President Kennedy and the other time zones that he'd obviously gone back to. But because there was no time after this episode for him to go and do those things without Rose, he must have therefore done them before Rose.
Does imply that.
Just regenerated. So
the only time he could have done it, though, Ben,
actually,
is...
no.
What?
Oh, go on, then prove me wrong. We can try.
At the end of the episode, when he leaves for the first time, after offering Rose to go with him,
and he
there's
comes
a theory
back and...
that he did all that stuff when he left, and then he came back and said...
Did I mention it
travels
through time, yeah.
Yeah, but the TARDIS has never been good enough to be able to land it 4 seconds after it just regenerated.
It does for the convenience of the plot.
Yes. Absolutely. What it needs to be.
I'm not even going to rise to it.
But yes.
He very definitely looks in the mirror and says, could have been better.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's clearly referring to regeneration. Yes, he is. But Alicia said earlier on that, you know, could he really have spent that much time before not looking at himself in the mirror? So he must have just regenerated.
Well, that's it. Yeah, that's the impression you get, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
It's, you know, it's the first thing that Tennant did when he regenerated, you know, the whole Teeth Barcelona thing and all that kind of gubbins. And so, therefore, you kind of assume that he has only just regenerated. But the thing that, therefore, then makes that a little bit strange is the fact that he's not suffering from regeneration sickness, unlike every other
doctor. He seems to be a little bit, because he's a bit sort of manic up until the bit where Rose sort of, he says, oh, I can feel the earth moving and...
Wasn't that a great scene?
Oh yeah. Iconic. Yeah. Mm. But we moved ahead a bit there, haven't we? Because we're still in the flat at the moment, and he uses a sonic screwdriver to cut the signal off to the hand.
Armless.
Yes.
Was that a genuine laugh?
No, not at all. That wasn't.
Same as this one is.
It's a master laugh. That one. Anyway, so... I think, because it's after that. Is it after that or before that that Mickey throws the arm in the skip?
It was before, because the arm came back from the rubbish bin.
Ah, that's it. I thought it was
through
that.
The cat flap.
Right. Yep.
Right. We're not talking about...
We're getting ourselves in position here now. Now, is it after this bit, then, that the Doctor and Rose take this stroll and have this conversation about whether he's alien, etc., etc.?
The
Doctor explains that it's after him, and if Rose hadn't gotten in the way, then all this wouldn't have happened and they would have met. And he just asks, you just think the whole world revolves around you? Yeah, sort of.
Yeah.
You're full of it, aren't you? Yeah, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. But that whole, when I was watching...
That's post-regeneration stuff.
Yeah, you're probably right. But that whole scene...
That's not enough of it, though. Because, you know, David Tennant had to lie down for half of a Christmas special.
Yes, that's true.
Matt Smith had to have custard and fish fingers.
Yeah.
And what's his name? Chris Eccleston has a bit of a chat with Billy Piper, and that's it. No.
But that whole scene where they walk from the flat to the TARDIS, see, it's like it's done in one shot. It's so smooth.
Most of it is really good.
Except that it's, according to the commentary... It's two different council estates.
That's right, yeah. Clever. Very, very good. And then he disappears again. But could he not have done the other adventures that we talk about from at that point?
No, because he was on a mission at that point, wasn't he? And you don't kind of like ever get a Doctor Who adventure where he's doing something and then he goes, hold on a minute, I'm just going to go to Wembley and watch a football match. I'll be back in this timeline.
If he gets the TARDIS sort of goes to the wrong place, he may well have, you know, done that. But yeah,
you know, you don't get adventures within adventures within adventures, and then he works his way back to solve the things or
maybe not.
That he was doing before he got waylaid. Do you? He normally does. You know, he's normally quite good at doing one thing at a time.
But at this point, he does disappear, and then Rose goes onto Mickey's computer and starts looking up Doctor TARDIS, etc., and finds this geeky bloke who seems to know a lot about Doctor Who. His name's Ian Levine. Sorry, yeah.
I checked out that search engine, which several years ago would actually bring back those results, and it doesn't anymore.
Oh, that's a shame. But
although it's still, if you dig down deep enough, it does say in the information on that webpage that this is a fake search engine designed for television productions.
Oh, excellent. Well done for spotting it, though. But so yeah, so she goes in this beautiful yellow Beetle to this chap's house, and they were
you're concerned about the car.
I love that car.
I like that car too. It's cool.
And Mickey stays in the car while Rose has a chat.
Oh, and then we have the one scene which was the only drawback to the entire episode. The one thing I did not like about the episode.
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm. The burp. Oh, the dustbin.
Yes.
Well, that was funny because that was the scene that was released as a kind of like trailer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in this country. Yeah, that was the first bit of the New Who that I saw, that scene, when they released it a couple of weeks before it was on.
Yeah, that's the only bit that Isabella found mildly scary. When it actually swallows Mickey. She found that mildly scary. Majorly, just mildly. She sort of, ooh.
I love the backflip he did into the bin. That was special.
And then burped.
I like how Clive's family just kind of puts up with with him.
But that does rather illustrate him as being a Doctor Who fan, doesn't it, really? Because I think he's stereotypical. But
she's
of course, if he goes to her... Sorry?
She's a she.
Yeah. His wife.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Did you watch the episode, Adam?
I didn't pick up some random bits of dialogue. Shush. So they went to his shed where he had all his information about the Doctor, and we talked about earlier on about the picture of him on the knoll, which is terribly photoshopped. And
one thing about Clive's wife is that she doesn't seem to have any problems at all with any of this. I mean, she shuts the door behind.
Obviously, she loves him.
She's just grinning. Okay.
And so is the son, though. It's the same sort of thing. They sort of just put up with it. But I think a lot of people.
Whatever keeps him happy.
Dad, one of your nutters is here.
Yes. So this is basically she gets to see the picture, the drawings, and the pictures in with the Titanic fan. They say badly photoshopped. The drawing's not too bad, but the photo ones are awful.
Several times now.
I know. Keep interrupting me. That's why.
Clive is as pedantic as
you.
Other Doctor Who fans.
But what does this actually establish? What does she gain from this particular meeting from this bloke? That yes, there is a bloke called the Doctor who has sort of visited Earth on several occasions. I think it would have made sense, yes, to have the pictures of him as we saw them, but also some pictures of him in his other incarnations. Because they wouldn't have been just, if they searched the record books of the Doctor, there would just be Eccleston's face on the character, would it?
Well, there is that great quote coming up. Let me dig it out here. Because I tweeted it last night. I thought it was... I tweeted it or I put it on Facebook?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was too long to tweet. The Doctor is a legend woven throughout history.
Yeah.
When disaster comes, he's there.
Yeah.
He brings a storm in his wake, and he has one constant companion. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's... Yeah. That's they've kept that rather consistent, haven't they? That was quite good. So anyway, Rose and Mickey end up at a restaurant. Well, it's not really Mickey. It's a sort of a plastic version of Mickey. It was very clever. But I'm surprised she didn't notice the difference between...
Yeah, the makeup... They did a great job with
they
makeup.
Did. That's what I'm saying. She could notice there was something odd about Mickey.
I mean, I think the thing that was the most shocking about that, though, is that if, there was many male viewers who had plastic girlfriends, that would be a completely different thing to Rose having a plastic boyfriend.
Maybe so, yes.
He wasn't blow up, though.
But then he's quite normal in his question asking for a little one, and then he starts remixing, shall we say, his dialogue. And then somebody turns up to offer them some champagne.
Like sugar, babe, darling.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they ignore him initially, but obviously it turns out to be the Doctor who then fires a cork into his Mickey's face, so as we could have that effect of the water splashing in slow motion effect in his face. Yeah. And then his hands turn into hammers and he starts smashing through all the tables, and then I think the Doctor pulls his head off. Is that correct? Have I missed anything so far?
No.
Right. So they run out into a back entrance into a yard, which seems to be have no exit. So I don't think that the health and safety people...
To, to have a police box.
Yeah, but I would have thought the health and safety people would not allow that, because you know, if there's a fire, they couldn't get away from the fire, really, just out into the backyard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but there may be Doctor Who fans, so they may want to hide it out the back.
Well, this leads up to the iconic scene of Rose entering the TARDIS and then going, oh, and then running back out again and then running back in again. And stuff.
It's nowhere near as good as Martha's, though.
No.
Right.
Martha
right.
walks in there and says, it's bigger on the inside than the outside, and Tennant's mouthing it behind her. And then he goes, really? I hadn't noticed.
Well, no, because I quite like the way that, you know, she runs in, she has a look, she kind of goes, oh! She runs out, she goes around the outside of the TARDIS, then she goes back in. And he's just carrying on like it's all normal. He's talking about, following the signal back to the mothership through the hand or the face or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he finishes saying what he's going to say, and then he turns around and says to her, all right, so where do you want to start? I just thought that was brilliant.
This was, it was brilliant too, and that, remember, a lot of people watched this who had never seen Doctor Who before. It was a really good introduction to the concept of the TARDIS.
Yeah.
And that it's bigger on the inside. Oh, there was another nod to the old show again. The assembled hordes of Genghis Khan couldn't get through that door.
Yeah.
So we're going way back to just after an
Marco
episode
Polo,
we reviewed recently. Yes.
Marco Polo.
Mm. Marco.
But yes.
Marco Polo.
Polo.
Marco!
So they go on a little trip to the embankment of London, where another brilliant scene where this is where he says, says, how comes he sound like he come from the north, etc. And then she goes, he's sort of saying, well, they've got to have some massive aerial, you know, a great big dish or something, and then in the background is the London Eye.
I love that.
I love that, but it went on like 2 seconds too long.
I know. Yeah. But it was a clever concept.
Someone is really pedantic today, aren't they?
I'm yes. always pedantic.
I'd have said 4 seconds and you'd have been on a winner there, but 2 seconds, too soon.
But I say it was an excellent concept of thinking that the London Eye could be a great big transmitter for something. I thought that was really, at the time, it was brilliant.
It really is.
Yeah. Is it?
By the way, does it actually move? It doesn't seem.
Yes, it does move. Yes, I've been on it.
In any of these shots, it's not.
Well, it's at night. I don't think they operate it that often at night. I'm not sure. It depends what time of night it is, but certainly during the day, it moves.
And how big is it? How tall?
Massive.
Is it? Massive.
It's probably the size of 7 football pitches.
I wouldn't say it's that big.
No, I'd say 9.
No, well, I mean, it's
13. No,
it's probably getting up to the height of Blackpool Tower.
It's as high as 327 elephants standing on each other's backs.
Are you looking this up on Google or something?
In each of those cabins, how many people can fit in each cabin?
150,000.
Oh, come on.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember. It's a long time since I went in there. Mum, how many people do you reckon could fit into the London Eye little capsules? How many do you reckon?
24.
That's about 20, isn't it?
Really?
I think it's about 20. Up to 20, I think.
I think it's up to 20. Yeah. But to get, between 20 and 25,
That thing is absolutely gigantic.
It's a large thing, yes. Obviously, because it's supposed to give you, you know, high views of London. So when you get to the top, you can see over the Houses of Parliament and stuff like that, and see yonder to the Arch of Wembley Stadium, which is quite a long way away. But you can see all these things once that you're at the top of the wheel.
Now, if you want some facts,
yes,
then each of the pods.
Someone's got Wikipedia up.
Go on.
This is all from Benipedia. they hold 25 people.
25! There we go.
I said 24. You can't go much wrong with that. The wheel rotates from memory at 26 centimetres, which is 10 inches per second, or about 0.9 kilometres an hour, or 0.6 miles
but
an hour.
But it doesn't rotate underwater, obviously.
Approximately 30 minutes.
No.
The wheel itself is 135 metres, or the entire structure is 135 metres, which is 443 foot tall, which, as I said, is about 200 elephants. Or the wheel has a diameter of 120 metres, which is 17 crayfish laid end to end, as long as the crayfish are quite long.
Okay. So anyway, they go to this.
How many macro would that be?
477. Bye bye. Say bye-bye to the wife.
Bye-bye to the wife.
Bye-bye the wife.
Bye-bye the wife.
And I'm not going to call her Holly, like Robert always does.
How dare you call her Holly?
Well, I'm just saying I'm not going to call her Holly, like Robert does.
Yeah, I know her name's not Holly.
I know it's not. Mrs.
It's
Harley.
The wife.
Mrs.
The
Harley. Wife. Yeah. The wife, yeah.
The wife.
Lovely.
Anyway, yeah. Back to the subject in hand.
Adorable.
It's unusual for us to digress. They end up underground, underneath the London Eye. Where
we digressed.
Yes,
I don't remember that.
Reviewing the episode is going to take longer than watching it.
Yeah, it's all very well digressing, but it's got to be something to do with the actual subject matter of what we're supposed to be talking about. I mean, yes, loosely, the London Eye. Anyway, moving down. We're under the London Eye, and there's the nesting intelligence.
And why are there open fires all over the place?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Ask Russell T. Davis.
It seems like it would be a little dangerous.
Probably would be. But then the health and safety issues of the back of that cafe restaurant place where they couldn't actually get out via the fire exit. so they're down there. The nesting intelligence looks a bit like a lava pool, which was a bit odd, I thought.
A lava lamp?
Yeah, well, something like that. A bit like the contents of a lava lamp. I forgot to mention the doctor happened to have a flask of anti-plastic on his person. Did he say where he got this from?
Fake plastic trees.
No. The person or the anti-plastic?
On him. He was in possession of an anti-plastic flask.
Why not? Doesn't everyone carry anti-plastic around?
I don't know.
In their trans-dimensional
Uncle Plastic,
pockets.
Maybe. Not anti-plastic.
He knew going to be dealing with the nesting consciousness, so...
Yeah, I think you're being a bit too picky there.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he's got a store of it somewhere in the TARDIS.
Or picky without facts.
I mean, it's not being funny, but if you're going to the shops, you normally will take a reusable bag for life, won't you?
So that you've basically got a reusable flask of anti-plastic.
That's one way of looking at it. It's an incorrect way, but it's definitely one way of looking at it.
Well, while down this, Rose tells Doctor just to throw the flask straight into the nesting intelligence, and he said, "No, I must give him a chance. Must give him a chance." And then this is where he sort of quotes the Shadow Proclamation and stuff for the first time, obviously. Meanwhile, Rose spots Mickey, who's cowering in the corner. Now, Mickey's like a pathetic little golem-y type thing in this, which is amazing considering what he ended up like at the end of...
Yeah, but yeah, I think that's why he got the title Mickey the Idiot, wasn't it? Because he was just an idiot.
Yeah.
The thing is, Noel Clarke, when he got the job, thought he'd play it like it was still a kid's show, as in he'd play out for the youngsters. And then when he watches it now, he says... He feels quite upset that he didn't play it as serious as someone like...
Well, he did end up playing it serious, though,
someone like that. He ended up that way, but his first few episodes, he's not too proud of.
No, I'm not surprised. But then, obviously, he did improve, because it's... you would have thought it's got him a part in the next Star Trek film.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. So basically, all things get worse and worse. The Doctor gets sort of arrested by a couple of Autons, while he's trying to plead with the nesting intelligence. And Rose decides she's going to use some of her acrobatic skills and swing on a chain and kick the Autons.
Well, that hasn't happened yet. No, go on
then, fill in the gaps.
We have to have the iconic Autons breaking through glass windows.
Sorry, I forgot all about the shopping precinct, because this is where Clive gets killed by... one of them, doesn't he?
Poor Clive.
Yeah, it's a shame. I was quite like that character.
I knew it was all true.
Yes.
Bang.
Yeah.
And it was great because it was just standard classic Autons with the hand that drops down and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful. I knew what Autons were when I saw this the first time. I just had never seen an actual Auton episode.
Yeah,
I've seen pictures.
You're the same.
Yeah.
Mm.
I love it how when the Autons start shooting and everything, Rose's mom just throws her shopping bag off to one side.
that was brilliant.
Yeah, she found it again, though, didn't she, later on?
No, I don't think she ever did.
I would have thought she did. But this is where Russell T. Davis brings in the family element, isn't it? Because obviously Rose, I think she gets in phone conversation with... where there isn't she, and she knows what's going on, and And then she phones her up again after it's of the aftermath. When, but that's quite a good Sam. I can't stand these little areas of flames on the ground where they've come from. I know they're just for a visual effect, but I don't see where they've actually appeared from. You know,
it's a truck on fire, so obviously it came out of that.
Was it? Well, just little patches of flames. It's a bit odd. Well, it doesn't really matter. And of course, you've got little twitching wartons, which are quite effective.
Sounds like you finally have turned on the episode and are watching it. The rest of us have been watching it.
No, I haven't. No, I'm just remembering it because I've forgotten about that particular shopping precinct.
I'm sure Reese is doing the same thing I'm doing and has it on in the background.
I thought I'd doing that because I've got my iPod here and it's on the iPod, but I thought I'd try and, you know, show and prove that I remembered it quite well from memory, having seen it hundreds of times. But obviously it was a wrong decision.
Do you have it running in the background?
I think I'm going from my memories from
Well done, Reese. Don't believe a word of it, but well done. But anyway, back to the thing. So the in the scuffle, the anti-plastic falls into the nesting thing, and that's basically saves the day because Rose did a little Tarzan swinging thing. And that's it, basically.
As soon as he said Tarzan, something went...
That's my dog crying. Because he thinks he's going to get something to eat, or he wants to go out into
and
the garden.
And if it wasn't for Rose, the doctor would be dead, and the earth would be destroyed.
Indeed. Good old Rose. But anyway, this is where we have the doctor trying to persuade Rose to go with him, and Mickey sort of hanging on to her like a dog hanging onto someone's leg. And initially she says no, and then he disappears, has another adventure, like Ben says.
About
and then
28 adventures at that point.
And then comes back and says, did I mention it travels in time? And then she slow motion runs into the TARDIS, and we get the sting. And that was, I remember at the time, when they had the sting, and it was the original sting, I thought, yay, they brought it back. Because it was always the best of all the stings they've ever had in Doctor Who.
Yes.
And then we get an immediate coming up in the next week clip, which we've never really had in Doctor Who before. Straight away we had the Doctor Who logo flies across the screen and it shows next time, and we see the next time clip for the next episode before we're going into the
title
sequence.
They changed that when it came to the two-parters, though, didn't it, by the end of the first part?
Did they? I don't know, we'll come up to that.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I've got the next time thing on here right now.
Yes.
And the face of Bo has just come into the room.
Yeah.
So someone on Facebook last night pointed out a very interesting thing to think of.
Yeah.
The face of Bo is theoretically Captain Jack. Think about what the headless monks do.
He's ahead. Head.
This
Sorry,
may
I'm
be
lost.
How,
so,
how the
shut
how
up.
The,
yeah, shut up.
Don't speak
to
me like that.
It's well rude, isn't it? You guys want to podcast and insult you.
This may be how we ended up. How the face of Bo ended up just ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, how would the head then grow to astronomical sizes and be put in a jam jar?
Well, he obviously went someplace Futurama-ish to get in the jar, but... But that's probably how he ended up as a head.
I'll have to look into that one.
Head in a jar.
It's definitely a theory.
It's a good theory.
Yes.
Yes. But, this particular episode of Doctor, obviously, incredibly important to the history of Doctor Who, because... without this, we wouldn't still be looking forward to another series coming up in the autumn because it would have flopped.
Wasn't Eccleston great?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely great.
But not just that. Wasn't Russell T. Davis great?
The two combined to make, and obviously a lot more people, combined to make, what was an iconic show's first, its re-emergence after 157 years without it being on television.
Now, people would have tuned into this for the curiosity thing, Doctor Who's back, let's see what it's like, and thought, hang on, this is brilliant, let's carry on watching it, and tell everybody else. This is brilliant, and this one episode is so important because this hooked lots of Doctor Who fans. They're coming back to watch people who'd sort of drifted away and weren't, new people, and this episode is the foundation stone of the new series, without a question.
Oh, you say it's important. It's obviously very important, because without this episode, they'd have had to start the series with episode 2, and that wouldn't have worked.
Oh, for God's
sake. Mind you, I have to say, I love the fact it's not like any other pilot, in that for every other show, the pilot's always different, and they...
Yeah, Airplane, they're different pilots, don't they? Episodes,
but this one really fits in with episode 2, episode 3, because there are introductory episodes. Episode 2 introduces the fact it could go to the future. Episode 3 shows that it could go into the past.
And
I like the way they did that.
And then we have episode 5 as the throwback classical monster in the shape of the Dalek. It's got everything, this particular series. So it's got one of my favourite
episodes in the series.
I will say, one of my favourite stories of all time, coming up in a few weeks' time, Father's Day. One of my favourite ever.
I thought you were going to say Aliens in London.
No, I'm really looking forward to seeing Father's Day again. I did watch it a few months ago because it was on Watch, because a channel here in the UK, on a satellite channel called Watch, does show a lot of old Doctor Who. Well,
classics. It shows 2 episodes a day, which is great.
It is, and Isabella's been sort of watching them. Although I've been banned by Alicia from allowing her to see The Doctor Dances and Empty Child.
Because
Alicia thinks it's the scariest thing ever and still won't watch it, even now. So she doesn't think that Isabella should be allowed to watch it.
Speaking of channels repeating things, APC2 here is repeating... all of New Who, Monday to Fridays.
Oh,
you've got 2 channels in Australia.
who needs to watch it on television? I just go over here to my DVDs and pull out whichever ones I want.
Yes.
Or just go to iTunes, because I will say, you listeners, if you want to buy Series 1, the series we're talking about at the moment, on iTunes, and watch it on your iPod, iPhone, or whatever, it takes up a lot of space, I happen to say, but it's only $9.99 for the whole series.
Jeez.
Indeed. It's 13 episodes.
Is it available from Who One?
It is available from Who One on DVD.
Well, we should have a plug for our sponsors.
I think that's a good idea, Kirby. plug away.
I've got to say, it's nearly $40 here, which is nearly £20 on the iTunes in Australia, and that's a big difference.
What? You mean it's more expensive on iTunes in Australia than it is here in Great Britain?
Yeah.
Good, that's a bit of a shame, really.
It's $9.
Yeah, £9.99, yes. Obviously, Series 2 is $19.99, so that's why I was just pointing out it's such a bargain to get the... I mean, it was such a bargain, I had enough for credit left from my Christmas iTunes credit. I thought, I'll have that, and I basically deleted all the files on my iPod and just put Series 1 of Doctor Who on it, minus one episode, because I couldn't quite squeeze in the last episode. It's got 12 episodes on that, because it's only an 8GB iPod. Mm. But
it doesn't appear to be available from whoone.co.uk.
I've just found out exactly the same thing.
But it's not available from whoone. Well, have you looked at the whoone.co.uk's list of DVDs in stock, where they've got the complete series of magic?
And where is that again?
www.whoone.co.uk.
/catalog.php? /3
Colony in space. Series.
There you go. 2005 complete series, £25. If I were you, I wouldn't buy it.
Oh, okay.
I'd buy it from whoone.co.uk.
I want unit files, so if anybody wants to buy me that.
Mark area equals 3.
There it is, yeah. Runtime, 595 minutes.
Coming up, though.
Color.
Got lots of.
And this is the really good box set that opens out into the TARDIS or something, isn't it? It's got the TARDIS on the inside.
Well, the current series or the original one?
No, Series 1.
I've got that one. I've got the TARDIS one. The Series 1 with the TARDIS opening up one.
I've got to go into a rant about that.
Have you?
Oh, God.
Yes. Recently, with the DVDs of the latest Matt Smith.
Recently. Nice one.
Really nice one? No, I don't think so.
No, Ben says that. Well, it's got to be funny if Ben says it.
Okay. Lately, with the... I'm going to say recent again, Dan. With the latest season or series being released, both parts of it and the full one, there's something like $30 something or other for the individual parts, and then the full box set is $40, yet the Eccleston series or season is $100, which is just baffling.
Mm.
Well, what's even more baffling is you don't even use real money. If you want to use a decent currency, use the euro. That's safe.
Yes. Yeah, I don't think that would work in a non-European country, but never mind.
Probably doesn't mean as much to them over there, does it?
So, who you want have got some things coming up on the horizon, shall we say. Companion Chronicles from Big Finish. There's quite a few of them, and they're quite good, so I've been told. I haven't actually listened to them. Companion Chronicles, yes. There's loads of them, and they feature companions.
And Chronicles.
Mm. In Chronicles.
Yeah. Curse of Davros, another Big Finish production. Destination Nerve. Doctor Widow and the Wardrobe by Stephen Moffat.
Sorry. Never heard of him.
Mm.
Two things. On the latest, you mentioned Terra Nova or whatever it's called. What's it called? Destination Nova.
That's the one.
Why did I say Terra Nova?
I've no idea.
Yeah, Destination Nova, there's a 10-minute clip of it on the latest Big Finish podcast.
Yeah, I've stopped listening to that podcast. I really should get back into it. Sorry, Big Finish podcast, who don't bother listening to us.
I don't listen to any podcasts.
But Reese, you're a bit of a moonlighting podcaster, aren't you? Last week you said you're currently a regular on four podcasts. Obviously, Who Is the Man podcast, available on Libsyn and... What are the other WordPress. Ones? About? That's the one. And also the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, available on Podbean.
Which one's
and
that?
iTunes. And what are the other ones, if you'd like to? Obviously, there's another one you do, which with, what's his name? Graham Sheridan. That is.
I wouldn't bother.
Yes, that's the Pratchett podcast.
Pratchett podcast,
it has
yes.
Nothing to do with Doctor Who.
No. And what was the fourth one?
We do always go off on tangents about connections between Discworld and Doctor Who. Like, for one of the characters is a granddaughter of somebody called Susan.
Is Pratchett a fan of Doctor Who?
He's a fan of it, and he enjoys watching it for fun, but he's even more pedantic than Kirby, and he does pick on a lot of things.
Hold on a minute.
That's pretty pedantic.
We're talking about people who have got a granddaughter called Susan.
Yes.
Then my great-great-grandfather had a granddaughter called Susan, because my mum's called Susan, and so therefore her great-granddad would have been my great-great-granddad.
Yeah.
And Susan. And Doctor Who!
Yes. And what was the fourth one? Sorry, Reese, what was the fourth one? Podcast?
That would be the Doctor Who Archives podcast.
That's the one. So I'm just curious, and also given the opportunity for a plug.
Well, one of those, I had to stop listening because I often listen to it in the car, and there was an episode that I started listening to that it was so muffled I could not hear it above the engine noise.
Were they using Ben's recording equipment by any chance?
Yeah, where we were with Ben. Yeah. Well, Patrick's got a new microphone now, so it shouldn't be muffled anymore.
That's probably what it is. The thing is, I want to listen to them in the proper order, so I'm just going to have to take time when I'm not in the car to listen to it. Oh, speaking of Big Finish.
Yes.
And to plug another podcast.
You'll have to wait after the clock set its pace. Hey, Magic, do you want to bark just for the sake of it?
Yeah, where's Magic?
He's here.
Well, it's dead.
He finds it difficult barking and growling when he's having his stomach tickled at the same time. He doesn't know whether to be vicious or just in awe. Well then. Oh,
there we go. Anyway. Did anyone notice I won a poster from the Omega podcast?
I did hear about this, yes.
That it's autographed by several Big Finish people.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason, hi Ellery, Beth Chalmers,
Gallery.
Hey Gallery.
That's his last name, Jason Hey Gallery.
Okay. Beth Chalmers and Richard Dinnick, and then also it's autographed by Tony Lee, that's the comic guy, comic book guy, and Benjamin Cook.
Oh, I missed the start of that because I was in what we call in this country the WC. Did you say you had a toaster?
Poster.
Yes, I had a toaster autographed by.
I was thinking, how have you autographed that's a Adam toaster?
Yes, that's right. I heard about the toaster story from
Adam. If you were on Facebook, you'd see a nice link to it.
Yes.
I still get lots of emails from Facebook. I just ignore them.
Oh, God. Hang on. Where's my...
Speaking of...
Oh, good grief. Yes, speaking of...
Speaking of Big Finish and the Doctor Who archives, I'd like to thank Barnaby Edwards. I don't think he will be listening, but I'd like to thank him for retweeting and plugging our show.
And I'd like to thank Stephen Moffat for replying to my tweet. That's Stephen Moffat, the showrunner of Doctor Who, replied to my tweet on Twitter. Thank you, Stephen.
Hey.
No idea.
Oh, yes.
What I thought before I finish, what I thought was quite ironic, he said in his tweet that... what words he used now? Hang on, I'll have to refer to it now because I just thought it seemed ironic the way he said it. So I go back on Twitter. Here we go. Bear with me. Know how to use these fangled gadgets, I really do.
You're getting muffled.
That's because I'm mumbling.
You sound like you're well losing interest in what
you're
saying.
No, what he says, he starts off in his tweet. He says, I'm not remotely hostile, but it sounded hostile the way he said it.
I'm not remotely hostile!
Stop implying it, damn it!
Yes.
I'm also not ruining a really classic TV series, honest!
Well, you mean like Sherlock?
Yeah, Sherlock, yeah.
One thing I'd like to point out is that he wrote the Christmas special while he was writing the episode of Sherlock of the current lot that he's writing, and I think you can notice a difference because the Sherlock was a better episode than the Doctor Who, but then again, it's longer and it's got a different story, but it was a
controversial.
I haven't had a chance to see the most recent Sherlock yet. I don't know if it's been broadcast.
I've never seen an episode of Sherlock, I'm afraid. I don't feel inclined to start.
It's worth it.
I like Sherlock Holmes as a character, so I don't see why I would like it as a updated modern character. So I don't like I've never liked it as a character in the past. It may well be if you like Sherlock Holmes.
My issue with this, with him writing Doctor Who and Sherlock at the same time, is the members of Duran Duran, the Taylor brothers, who went on to be in the Power Station, weren't in Duran Duran and the Power Station at the same time. They did one thing and then the other.
Yeah, but now that doesn't work, though, because Rhys Parton is on four different podcasts at the same time.
I'm doing better work. Stephen Moffat.
And Siobhan Galashon is in two podcasts at the same time.
Yeah, but there's a little bit of a difference between recording a podcast,
he's in both.
Being in a massive power rock group like the Power Station, and writing Doctor Who and Sherlock, isn't there, Adam? There's not a lot of comparison between your similarly and my similarly.
Maybe so.
Are you sure?
On a side note, and a slight digression, Deb acquired series 1, 2 and 3 of Merlin just before Christmas, and I've never seen them really, so we're actually watching them and enjoying them immensely. We're currently about 5 episodes into series 1. What a brilliant series that is, Merlin, I have to say.
It is.
Brilliant.
I'm
thoroughly enjoying it.
That it is. My middle daughter, the geek daughter, really loves it, and I've never watched it.
And lots
it,
of Doctor Who connections, because I did notice, in, I think it was episode 2, Eve Miles plays an evil witch in it, and at the end of the episode, Eve Miles plays an evil witch, yeah. And it said, with thanks to Russell T. Davis in the credits.
I've got about much interest as watching Merlin as I have in listening to other people's podcasts.
But anyway, next week we'll be discussing The End of the World, and...
Oh, is it going to end already? Good.
Shut up.
I thought that was
the
end of the year.
Yes, and if you want to send in some emails and audio and stuff, and I don't see... Staggering Stories get loads. I can't understand. We only get about 2 or 3. But if we wanted to send us in, please do so. And Rhys gets none. So we don't really get you get your email sent to us.
A couple of months ago, Staggering Stories got none.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's because I was ill and didn't send anything.
You know what?
Yes?
It seems entirely wrong to me that we sit here and plug other people's podcasts. Because at the end of the day, this is a business we're in.
Is
we're trying to get our podcast.
Is it?
Are we making money?
I wish we were.
Other people's podcasts, obviously, Reese's other one, whatever that's
called. If we were making money, I'd be able to justify it to my wife.
Well, I didn't say we're making money. We're trying to make people listen to our...
Yes, that's true. I totally go along with that.
We want ours to be the best and to ours to succeed better than other people's.
Yeah.
And so to sit here and then give other people plugs and say how blooming great
they
are...
Yeah, but you do that in the hope that they will give you plugs. It's
what we're trying to achieve.
No, that's what
we're saying. You don't get people on the Radio 1 breakfast show sitting there going... By the way, I was listening to the Virgin Radio breakfast show the other day, and it was really good.
Yeah, but the Christmas messages I sent to the Christmas podcast I did send to all played our messages, and now all those listeners have heard of our show and hopefully will come and listen to it and think, what a load of tosh, and turn it off again.
And I managed to get us mentioned in the most recent Staggering Stories podcast at least three times.
And there was the audio. Our audio.
Well, I'm not bothered.
Which didn't include Kirby. Because he was still there. Because his alarm didn't come off.
I'm a little bit grumpy over Christmas period.
I keep listening to... I'm still trying to catch up to all the podcasts I missed over the holidays.
Yes.
And every time I tune into a Doctor Who podcast, it seems like you guys made a recording, a Christmas New Year's recording, specifically to... Staggering Stories into Adventures in Time, Space, and Music. And
Bigger
all
on the
these.
Inside, which didn't bother playing it.
Exactly. So what's the point, eh? They're not back in our corner, so we should
f*** it. Well, at least that gives me a chance to use the bleeper.
Oh, dear, swear. That wasn't a swear. It wasn't a complete swear. All I said was fuck. Because all I meant to say was have fun with them.
Yes.
Was what I was going to say. Yes, apologies to people who don't like the word.
But basically,
it's reminded me of Monty Python. He said it again.
Anyway,
say it.
The basic short version of that is: if you want to send in some feedback, it's 20mb. Will you stop growling, you two?
That's a funny address.
I'm talking to the dog for that. 20mb.feedback. Will you stop flapping your ears?
Sorry.
20mb.feedback@gmail.com. That's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Please do send in your feedback. And so ends this podcast.
No, we can't end it yet, because you haven't answered why one of your dogs isn't called K9 if you're such a big Doctor Who fan.
Because I wasn't allowed to name the dogs. I was, actually, but I wasn't allowed to name the dogs in relation to Doctor Who. In fact, I was allowed to name the goldfish Doctor, but then one of them died, and they decided the one that was died was called Doctor, and the one that still lives is called Bubble, and I'm sure it's the other way around. Isabella's renamed the goldfish about a dozen times since then, anyway. But,
used goldfish.
Not allowed to name things.
They just get a new name every three seconds anyway.
Indeed, that's right. Right, Star's here now. She wants to have a growl.
Peter! Affirmative, Master.
We are recording a podcast, Master.
No one else's.
Pardon? Sorry, I'm just fighting with a dog.
Don't fight with a dog, that's really good.
No, she's not interested. Normally, she's really good. Anyway, right, so that's it then. Thank you for joining us on the show. It's great to have you back, Ben.
We can't be done yet. We've only been recording for an hour and 8 minutes.
Well, there's nothing else. I can't think of anything else to say. Magic!
If you'd have shouted K9 at that point, it would have been better.
Git!
Daylight!
Sorry. Magic just pulled out one of my cables.
Yes, Master!
He got tangled up with my maze of wiring down here and pulled it out. There's no need for him to go where he went. He's sulking now.
Blooming dog, say.
Yeah, I can't think. I think we have actually covered all subjects in hand.
Any news?
I don't. There's no news. No news at all. Doctor Who returns in the autumn.
We did have a touch of it with Mickey being...
Yes.
In Star Trek.
Yep. And the
man who plays Sherlock, Benedict.
Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch. Yeah, he's in it as well, playing a baddie.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, what else?
Okay,
apart
I guess
from
that's
that,
it. Never mind.
Anything else?
We can't have a short episode.
Yes, we can. It's not that short. We've already had half an hour of Alicia and Isabella.
Yeah, that'll do. Let's go.
We have. I don't remember that.
Bye. I've got to put something on the podcast for you lot to listen to.
Well, not me.
Yes. Maybe not you.
Well, I won't listen to it.
He doesn't listen.
I'll pretend I listen if you want.
We can talk about Big Brother if you like.
Last week's was excellent.
I'm sure it
was. What, Big Brother?
Was. Anyway.
Yes.
I've got to go to the shops and buy some food.
And I've got to see if my father-in-law's all right in the back garden.
I've got to rest my toe.
Torso?
I've got a sore toe now.
Oh, yeah, you have, yes. Yeah, it's foot. It's toe. Tell us. That's something to talk about. Go on, then. What happened?
Basically, there were a couple of young kids.
No one else talks about a poorly toe on the show. I don't think the listeners will be interested in poorly toes, but mine's getting better, thanks.
I've never heard of him. Who's he? Poorly toe.
Who's he? That's another podcast you just mentioned.
True. Too many podcasts.
Yeah, well, no. As long as you...
Something I shout
anyway,
all the time.
Sorry, my friend in Australia land. Do continue.
Yeah. Just briefly, what happened to your toe?
Basically, we had a couple of young children around, and they're big fans of me for some reason, and they want to talk to me.
You allowed to tell this story?
Shut up. Now, they were trying to get in my bedroom, and...
Oh, my God.
Oh, God, no, this is going completely wrong.
My hand on the floor, Your Honour.
Oh, dear.
I wish I'd known now.
Can I tell the story or not?
Yes, go on then, as long as it doesn't go down this road that sounds like it's going down.
It won't.
Oh, go on then.
As long as the road was going down, mate, then it should be all right.
Oh, God. Yes, go on, Reese, yes.
I give up.
No! Oh, all that build up.
I was pushing the door shut, and then as soon as I was going to let them in, they pushed the door in, and it smacked into my little toe. And really hurt.
That's the biggest laugh Ben's given for the whole show.
If we're going to make a summary of that story, you were in your bedroom with a lot of little kids. You were trying to shut the door and they wanted it open.
Oh, dear.
And so you're now...
I'm not doing anything wrong.
Now, where's my lawyer's phone?
And so you're now...
Shut
on
up, Magic.
Good for this.
Yes, I am.
But yes.
I might have been on Crime Watch a couple of weeks ago, mate. I think there's more coming for you.
Anyway, right, yes, the National Television Awards. Before I go, please vote for Doctor Who and Matt Smith and Karen Gillan, please. Okay? They're down to the shortlist now, and they're down to the stage where they've got a deadline that's very, very soon. So please vote on the National Television Awards, NTA. What's your website for
I
that?
Don't think I can do that.
No,
I don't
but try it.
Can do that.
You probably can't, but it's always worth a try.
And I can't be
we
bothered.
Do get a couple of listeners from the UK. That's
Ben
at Ian Kirk.
Yet?
He's just gotten back off. He's getting back off his chair because he fell off it. So, yes, that's it. National Television Awards. Google it if you can't find the website anywhere. Actually, there's a little link here. What does it say? It's www.nationaltvawards.com where you can vote for other things, including Karen Gillan, Matt Smith, and Doctor Who. And let's get some awards, because otherwise Sherlock will win them all.
Well, that's all right. It's a good show.
The final ratings, finally, the final ratings for the Christmas special were, it says official 10.77 million, but it was more like, according to Stephen Moffat, sort of semi-friend of the show via Twitter, 12 million. But it was the fourth watched programme on the whole of Christmas Day, so... There you go.
Is it the fourth best watched programme the whole of Christmas Day?
Big Coronation Street.
There's bugger all on Christmas Day this year. What beat it?
Soap operas.
To the cheesy moon.
EastEnders beat it.
Someone
Harry
with a
Potter
stick.
And the Wobblet of Job Job.
That's something I'd pay to see.
Oh, we won't go down that road again, I don't think, Reese.
David Tennant's got married. That's the only other bit of news. Can't think of anything else really. Obviously, Matt Smith and Karen Gillan have recently appeared on the Graham on the Graham Norton show over the Christmas and New Year period. So there we go. That's the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast this week. Next week it's episode 95, and we'll be talking about, as I said earlier on, the end of the world. Till then, bye.
Well, we'll be back next week, whether Reese makes it or not, depends if he gets held on bail.
I was waiting for someone to say goodbye. Sorry, yeah.
Bye!
Bye.
I will sue Ben. Goodbye.
You won't be able to because it's all true.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance.
Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.